This is CliffCentral.com.
Youth Leadership Platform.
Fear's a powerful thing. I mean, it's got a lot of firepower. If you can figure out a way to wrestle that fear, to push you from behind rather than stand in front of you, that's very powerful.
I have a dream.
Multiplying leadership, moving society, the millennial way.
You don't want to end up going after goals and dreams and neglect yourself.
Welcome to the Youth Leadership Platform with your host, Bongani Dao.
Gotham, take control. Take control of your city. This is the instrument of your liberation.
See, old friend, I brought more soldiers than you did.
Identify yourself to the world.
Platform. Welcome to another exciting episode of the Youth Leadership Platform. And as you already know, I go by the name of Bongani Dao at Simply Bongani across all social media platforms. So tonight it's very, very exciting because we're coming to you live from the Sunday Times Generation Next. Well, the conference was in the morning and the awards come shortly after this. But we normally do this and it's become a norm. Obviously, it's the Youth Leadership Platform. We bring you the brightest. We bring you the most robust and the most talented people on the show. Today's guest is also someone like that. Our focus for, I guess, the series is people within the fashion, crafts, art industry. And today's guest as well runs two businesses with a full-time job. And yeah, think about that for a moment. I'm struggling running one business. She's running two businesses and a full-time job. She's in jewelry and interior design, and she's none other than Mputeng. Mputeng, welcome to the Youth Leadership Platform.
Thank you for inviting me.
Awesome. So let's start at the beginning, foundations. Where were you born? Where did you grow up?
Oh, born and bred in Lesotho, Maseru, to be more specific. And then I moved to, obviously, Cape Town to study, for university.
What did you study?
Studied marketing.
Oh, really?
And, geez, how that happened is my high school teacher was the one who said you either have to go into public relations or marketing. Because
really?
I had no idea what I wanted to do.
Okay.
But because I'm such an outspoken person, I'm out there.
Yes.
He supported that. Because I didn't really struggle with maths and physics, but I didn't enjoy it.
Okay.
And I think he picked it up. So, yeah, thanks to him, Mr. White. Mr. White.
How's that been so far, though?
It's been amazing. It's really, really been amazing. I'm enjoying the journey. Have been in advertising for, 16 years?
Sheesh.
But I have been running my jewelry business and interior decor business.
Yeah.
Since 2012. Yeah, so it's been good.
Interesting.
It's been uphill, but yeah.
Interesting. We're going to get into that, and yeah. I had some things from an entrepreneurial point of view, obviously, to draw a lot of, knowledge and wisdom from you, from doing this for as long as you've done it. But what were some of your aspirations growing up as a young girl in Maseru? Did you move immediately to
Cape Town?
To Cape Town?
Correct, yeah. So immediately after high school, I moved to Cape Town.
So you grew up in Maseru?
Yes.
What was that like?
Absolutely amazing.
What are some of your fondest memories from then?
Fondest memories, obviously, my high school friends, how strict our high school was, and the foundation that we got from our high school, the principles that were instilled in us.
Yeah.
Just being a proud Mosotho girl was just, So moving to Cape Town was overwhelming. I mean, I remember I could not deal with the lights.
Yeah,
there were too many lights because Maseru is a small town. So, I adjusted. Yeah.
So a bit of YLP trivia. When you look at your past, what does it smell like?
My past smells like roses.
Okay. Mm. Take us through that.
Look, I won't say I really struggled. I grew up in a household of two kids, which is me and my little brother, Shiligane, and obviously a mother and a father. don't know if I should say, I went to Lesotho High School, which is a good school in Maseru.
Yeah.
Went to Iketete in private school, in primary, and then I moved to Cape Town. So
What does it sound like?
What?
Your past.
My past, do you want to know what it sounds like?
Yeah.
Bees. At work.
Bees at work. Okay, yeah. Elaborate on that.
I had a very strict mother who instilled, the notion of hard work in us.
All right.
So yes, we had a help at home, but we all had our chores. And I think that instilled the principle of being a hard worker later on in life.
Yeah?
So that's what it was.
What does it taste like, lastly?
It tastes like papa le muroho le nama le curry le. Yeah.
Okay. Was that the family tradition or the go to meal, I guess, on that special occasion?
Not really.
Okay.
So, my history is very rich. My mother is Xhosa.
Okay.
So yes, church is Xhosa properly. Then my father is Musotho, hence the name Potseng Lebentele.
Yes.
So I come from that family that had, that cross-pollination, if I can call it that, of culture.
Yeah. Okay.
I was a joke in high school because my mother never used to speak Sesotho, strangely enough to us. We spoke Xhosa.
Oh, really?
Even though we were in Lesotho.
Yeah, yeah.
So when my friends used to visit my home, she would speak isiXhosa to us, and they would give us that funny look.
Yeah, yeah.
But that actually later on helped me when I moved to Cape Town,
which
is a predominantly Xhosa city.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I just gelled nicely with the people in Cape Town. Yeah.
So now, let's get into the marketing aspect of it, right? Mm-hmm. But before we do that,
yeah.
You attended the conference,
yes.
Digital marketing or marketing to millennials.
Mm.
What are some of the key points that were raised there that you felt that, oh, okay, I needed to hear this.
Mm.
Oh, this is exciting. Oh, this is, I learned. What were some of your key lessons from it?
You know what resonated with me this morning, from the conference this morning, was when they said, as a parent, because I'm also a parent to a 9-year-old, my son is somewhere here.
Okay.
They said, if you as a parent, you're not emotionally available.
Oh, yes.
Then your child is going to find something that's going to keep them busy.
Yeah.
And
there's
technology out there. He's very much into technology. My phones have these apps. So it's very important for you as a parent to be there emotionally for your children. But what I also loved is the youth telling marketers that don't talk at us.
Talk
to us.
Yes,
yeah. And if
yes.
you want information about us,
ask us.
Yeah,
yes.
Ask us. Yeah. And I felt like, hey, they're playing on my name because my name is Mputeng. So.
Which is tell me. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell me in Sepedi, but ask me in Sesotho. Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And when you think about it, that emotional disconnect in a lot of black families, it's very dominant where kids cannot communicate with their parents. And by so doing, they rely on their friends for advice. They rely on their friends literally for anything and everything. And parents end up not knowing what's going on in the kid's life. And knowing friends, it's blind leading the blind. And one thing leads to the other. And, when one is lost, all of them essentially are. What would you say to that?
So it's unbelievable that you actually asked me this question. Because on my way to drop off my child, I remember I was at the stop sign. And I was like, the way I have such an amazing bond with my son.
Yeah.
I cannot imagine why any parent cannot be so close to their children.
Yeah.
We listen to the same music. We listen to
Oh, really?
C, we listen to MT.
That's interesting.
I've told him to see, I'm a very free spirit, so
okay.
I've allowed him to tell me everything. And I always tell him, you need to talk to me before you go talk to your friends.
Sure.
So yeah, it's funny that you would ask me that question, because that's exactly what I was thinking this morning, that I don't understand how any parent cannot be very close to their child.
Yeah,
I'm very close to my child.
Because I feel a lot of, capitalism is capitalizing on that, right? they've noticed that there's this emotional gap, especially in black families. Mm. Granted, a painful past and what's happened, and you know, our inability as well to communicate within the family settings. I mean, obviously coming from a patriarchy point of view where, you know, you're not supposed to say certain things. When you're a kid, you're a kid. That's it, right? And marketers, they play on that. They give the children, they fill that gap. So come and be part of this great thing that we've created, and you will, you know, you'll be part of a bigger society. They'll feel that need to be needed, to belong into something. And what it proves to be is, it's very degenerate. Like it leads to a lot of degenerate young people, because in whatever they've created that they end up belonging to, then it's frivolous. It's stuff that's made up, that's created. It's not lasting, and it's not connecting families.
Absolutely.
So do you think that as a mother, this conscious decision that you took to say, my child, I'm going to be close to you, you're going to be open to me, is you trying to address that?
Absolutely. And again, I just love your questions, because my child, he's 9 years old, and he's at that age where he wants to be cool at school, where he wants to be that cool child that's recognized. I mean, he lied to his friends and said he got a tracksuit from Chris Bra. because I'm in this industry, his friends automatically believed it. And I told him that, you know, you cannot carry on lying to your friends, because life is not about that. Your friends need to accept you the way you are.
Yes, for who you are.
And for who you are. And you're actually going to forget all these lies at some point.
Yeah.
And they are going to catch up with you. And if you start now, this is a pattern that you're creating for yourself later on in life.
Yeah.
So, I mean, marketers play on that. But also kids have, you know, there's something called pastor power.
Okay.
Which is, obviously, kids have an influence on the buying decisions in the home.
Yes,
correct.
Yes,
yeah. So my child sees a lot of adverts, which clearly proves that advertising still works. And he would say, Mom, let's buy this. Let's buy this cereal. Let's buy this toothpaste, because I want my teeth to be whiter. Can you buy a portion? I'm like, hell no, I can't afford it. There is pastor power out there.
So now, in studying marketing, you move into, you know, your professional life, you start practicing that.
Yeah.
When do you decide to start a business? And which came first, between the jewelry business and the interiors business?
So the jewelry start, the jewelry was the first one. And this is how it happened. When I lived in Cape Town, I used to be a tenant at a lady's house called Zelma Smith.
Okay.
So she used to make jewelry.
Okay.
But I was a tenant that lived in her own house.
Oh yes.
So on Saturdays, she used to go to the bead shop with her daughters, three daughters, and I used to tag along,
because
I was like one of her daughters. I was the fourth daughter.
Sure.
And then obviously after buying the beads, we'd get home and then she'd start making jewelry. So I just used to watch. I never used to make the jewelry. But I think a year later, when I moved out to my own place, I had nothing to do on Saturdays.
Okay.
Then I started making jewelry. I started experimenting.
Sure.
My business has really grown. I've been doing this now for a lot of years. And if I may add that on Saturday, I'm showcasing at a fashion show at NASREC Expo Center.
Okay.
So my jewelry brand is Makamo, because my son's name is Kamo.
Oh, interesting.
So, yeah. So my mother, the mother brand is Makamo. So even for interiors, Makamo Interiors.
Mm-hmm.
And then jewelry is Makamo Interiors.
Let's talk a bit about the politics of the interior industry itself. Where you look at, I won't mention specific publications, but you know those interior publications that are being produced in South Africa, how they publish a lot of white people.
Oh, and I was about to say. Glad you said it.
Yeah, I mean, we have to be transparent about what's going on in the country. That's the only way we can be able to hold leaders accountable. That's the only way transformation can happen.
Yeah.
So as a black lady with this business, what are some of the pain points you have, you know, especially surrounding that issue?
Look, I think I was talking to a fellow interior decorator, and I said, it would be interesting if we could count five powerful black interior decorators that are recognizable, that are in those publications.
Yeah, I mean,
we could not even get to five. There's only like two that we know. And I don't want to mention their name, but it's like the industry that I was in. It's still very much
advertising and marketing.
Yeah,
no, it's not transformed, and it's.
And I've been in it for what?
It's
16
not, it's not
years
a secret
now.
Anymore.
It's not.
But now, how do you manage to push past that? I mean, running a business, you have to be profitable, right? But if there's stuff like this at political play, for business. It hinders a lot of your progress.
Oh yeah.
So how do you manage to push past it?
Look, I think it's being persistent and knowing what you want, and just maximizing on the clients that you have.
Sure.
I mean, I've kept most of my clients, and that's how I'm surviving.
Oh, okay.
But what I've also learned is that word of mouth. Has worked for me.
Sure.
And just random people seeing my products, and they'll ask others, and that's how I get business.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Interesting. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then when you look at the full scope of what's going on right around the country in the business space, right? There's so many pain points. There's some initiatives that the government obviously is trying to put in place. So if you were sitting in front of people in power that can initiate change, what would you say to them? What would you ask from them?
So
from a business stance, from an entrepreneurial stance.
I love what you're saying.
Yeah.
Because again, from this morning's conference, I can't recall who the speaker was, but they said, in all these businesses and marketers, they need to get young people in the companies if they really actually are targeting the young people.
Yes, yes.
So you can't be 50 and try to do advertising for
millennials.
Yeah, when you have 10, not immersed 12. Yourself in their lives. So if you want to get real insights, get the young people on board.
Hmm.
So I found that very, very
interesting. From a leadership point of view, they need to include a lot of young people within those structures.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
What else would you want to ask? That will make your life easier as an entrepreneur.
Jeez. I think if government can introduce business studies to students, because interestingly enough, I was at the expo on Saturday and I had a 16-year-old who came and inquired and said, how has it been running your business? And I literally just unpacked everything for him. And he said, I'm very clear that I don't want to work for anybody.
Sure.
I want to own my own business.
Sure.
And I said, I get you, but unfortunately, you need to start somewhere.
Yes.
You need to learn from a fellow business person how things are done or how the business is run.
Yes.
And he was like, yeah, I hear you, but can you rather recommend a book that I can read?
Oh,
because I'm really, really not about that life. So millennials are driven. They don't want to hear anything.
Very innovative.
Very innovative. Yeah.
But I mean, you think about it. Education now is becoming a thing of, if you can get it online, why do you have to pay 300K, 400K a year? Especially if you can't afford that.
Mm.
But if you can go online and get lessons on that, and you can read books on that particular project. But I mean, obviously, when it comes to specialization, then it's a different ball game altogether. You can't be a doctor off of just textbooks.
Yeah, I was about to say. Yeah, it's not for everyone. Sometimes you do need a warm body in front of you that you can ask questions. Because online, sometimes I feel like it's like talking to a robot, and you can't ask questions back. Unless you're talking to Siri.
Yeah. That show is coming out, by the way. Just by the way. Biggest lessons you've learned from running two businesses?
Hmm. No one will ever give the business the attention that you do. The passion that you have for your business, no one else will ever do that for it.
Okay.
And hard work pays.
Really?
I mean,
really, does it?
Oh, yeah.
But I know a lot of black people that work hard, or just people in general as well, that work really hard.
Mm.
but don't have anything monetarily speaking to show.
Okay, I hope I'm not those.
No. I'm just saying. You know, interesting enough, there was a point where we drive past like places like Sandton, Houghton, and you know, teachers from high school and just, you know, back in primary school as well, even. They'll tell you you need a degree to be able to live in a house
that's
like this.
So true.
Fast forward to 2018, youth unemployment rates is at a staggering 50%, right? Plus minus, give or take. Mm. And there's people with degrees, masters,
that
doctorates.
Sitting at home. Yeah.
Even at traffic lights who are asking for jobs. Mm. So it's like, now what does it take at this point in time in our lives to actually earn, to actually live?
I think it's that whole thing of being indoctrinated to look for a job and not start your own business. Because yes, we all want to make money.
Yeah.
But people would sit at home with a degree. You've studied marketing. You've done everything. But the minute you get your degree, you'd rather sit at home and not even start a little business because you've been taught you need to work for a certain company or whatever. So yeah, it's that whole thing of us being taught that you need to get a job, you need to I mean,
so we,
a good
so we
example.
Need to talk the youth out of that then.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, a good example, I won't mention the musician's name, but guy is a good example of working hard and dreaming big.
Okay, that's just cusping your face. But yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like he's just one of those guys who would say, in 2 years' time, I'm going to achieve this. And he would achieve it.
Sure.
In a year's time, I'm going to get this. And he would do it.
Sure.
So I feel like he's such a big ambassador for young kids.
Okay.
And a good role model as well.
Okay.
That's just my... I'm just saying from a distance.
I mean, as well, you think about entrepreneurship. They always say, okay, if you can't find a job, start a business.
Yes.
But then all the red tape then that's keeping black people out of, you know, playing the game.
So
because, I mean, someone that's coming from somewhere in, you know, the furthest parts of Soweto or the East Rand or whatever the case is, you know, that whole three taxi thing where they're going to get sent back over and over again. They're going to be asked to fix things, to, you know, do all these digital things that require data, require money, but they don't have that to begin with. But they still want to start a business. They still want to be proactive and take charge of their lives.
Mm.
So, and then, you know, a lot of them, especially some of them that I know, then end up quitting and, you know, resort to other stuff coping mechanisms.
So let me tell you about my story.
Sure.
I did not get funding from anyone to start my jewelry business.
Okay.
I started small.
What is starting small?
So starting small is, I used to make jewelry for myself.
Okay.
And people would say, oh, I love that. Where did you buy the necklace? I'd say, no, I made it. And then I would make it for them. Obviously put a mock up. And they would tell the next person. And what has helped me a lot as well is just posting stuff on social media.
Okay.
To say, whoever, your jewelry is ready, and da-da-da. And more people would see that, and that's how
it be like,
it
so you do jewelry.
Yeah. So that's that. Yeah, I make everything myself. I'm up every day from 3 until 6.
3 a.m.?
Yeah. Sheesh. That's my creative hour.
Wow.
And then even at university...
Talk about hard work.
Yeah. Even at university, that's when I used to study, because everybody would be fast asleep. It would be quiet. It would be just beautiful and peaceful. And that's when I would study and get the best results. So I also find that now, because I have a son, that's my creative hour. That's a quiet time that I can actually get things done.
Sure.
And you know when they say when you're passionate about something, you don't get tired.
And
my body clock wakes me up and say it's time to go make jewelry. It's time to make new pieces.
Yeah.
You know. So
is there such a thing as work-life balance?
Yeah, definitely.
So how do you balance being a mom, running two businesses, and being in a 9-to-5?
Bona, I go out. I party. That's how I de-stress. I party. And people don't know that's how I de-stress. So, and some people don't know that I'm up every day from 3 to 6 working.
Yeah.
Because they see me out a lot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But you've already done the work. So you're the kid in class where you get everyone to be naughty and things, but when it comes exam time, you're the one passing and they're like, but we were doing all this naughty stuff together. So when did you study?
It's interesting that you'd say that, because in university, I was exactly like that.
Really?
So university, Mondays to Thursdays, I never used to play around. I would go to class, lectures. So after every lecture, I would book a cubicle in the library and I would just go through everything that was done. So that was Monday to Thursday. Friday, hi baba beziwa. Friday,
you're
Saturday,
damn thing.
And then Sunday I would be back. So I used to visit my friends,
okay,
out of campus. Friday, Saturday, but Sunday. I learned to discipline myself because,
okay,
remember I was from very far, from Maseru. I was in Cape Town, and I mean I had nobody to rely on but me.
Sure.
So I had to discipline myself. I knew what I was there for. I knew that I had to finish my degree at record time, and I did exactly that. So
Lastly, looking at a 16-year-old or any of the kids really that are in the crowd right now, mm, who are in high school, mm, they have no idea what life has for them after high school, what would you say to yourself in the crowd?
You know, that's a very tough question. I'll tell you why. Because these kids are growing in a different era.
Okay.
Compared to mine.
Okay.
I didn't have technology at the tip of my fingers I was growing up. They have access to everything. I mean, I think the best that I had was a TV game back then.
Okay.
I just feel that too much of this access to the internet could, I don't know if it's good enough for them. Maybe it is good if it's used productively.
Okay. So they should watch for the dangers of the internet.
Oh yeah, there's serious dangers out there. Yeah. Hence, I monitor everything that my child does.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what are your parting words?
My parting words is...
Motivate us.
Huh? What?
Give us the signal, mama.
Give us the signal, mama. My parting words are, never give up on your dreams. Interior deco has been my love since, I think, from the age of 13.
Okay.
But I never knew I could make money out of it.
Okay.
So tap into your inner self. I don't know how to say that to a child, but I know that my son loves music. I know he loves hip-hop. I know he loves... So the day he decides he wants to go into the music industry, I'm not going to stop him because I can see this is a passion that he has from such a young age. Tap into your inner self. I know we've all been taught to look for jobs, stay a job and have the comfort of a job security.
Sure.
But I think your talent and your passion is bigger than that. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being on the Youth Leadership Platform. It has been a pleasure to host you on the show.
Thank you for inviting
looking
me.
Forward, obviously, to seeing more of your work, right?
Yes,
and
yes,
we'll
yes.
probably pop by and come and check your collection at the Fashion Week. That's going to be going on. For our listeners on the Youth Leadership Platform, as per usual, at Simply Bongani across all social media platforms, tell us what you like, what you don't like, who you want us to have next on the show. From us and the beautiful 9-to-5 plus 2 businesses and mom. It's good day and God bless.
This is CliffCentral.com.